Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
For this week's industry review, we're taking a closer look at Ireland's coffee sector through the lens of both engineers and operations people on the ground. These are the men and women who keep the country caffeinated day in, day out, 365 days a year. From how coffee is delivered and scaled across national networks to the know-how and technology that powers the machines, this is the side of the coffee business most customers never see, but it's one that's critical to every single cup of coffee. Delighted to be joined by a former colleague of mine and a friend indeed, Mr. Ronan McCullough. He's from Insomnia. He's a coffee national accounts manager there. Also joining us is Anthony Buggy. He's a director of PVI, again, an engineering company that specialises in repairing and maintaining and servicing coffee machines. Another man who I know well from many years, Paul Flanagan of PF Coffee Services. He also joins us, an engineer and a man who knows all about machines. So, Ronan, we might maybe start with you, and lovely to see you again.
Good to see you, Bobby.
Just what's happening now in when we talk about coffee. Again, in my early days, there were two types. One was black, the other was white. And we've moved on so much from that. But what's happening out in the marketplace today? When we see the expansion of forecourt retail and we talk about people on the road, maybe choosing a garage or a petrol station around what coffee they serve rather than how much the fuel is. What's happening out there? And like, these are busy, busy establishments and they're very, very important for the coffee business.
So you've a kind of a broader range. You've now a broader range, Bobby, within the industry, especially in the forecourt world, where you see the bigger forecourt brands adding in the likes of coffee bars and self-service equipment, bean-to-cup equipment. You can see the broadening of the range of drinks from chilled beverages to plant-based beverages, health-focused beverages, and maybe a little bit of a shift from what would have been standard, a black coffee back in the day or an Americano, to milk-based beverages, your oat drinks and flavoured beverages.
Well, I think, and again, it's probably interesting to see with the fuel crisis or the prices at the pumps going up, that the importance of food and coffee within these forecourts is critical, because the margin is not on fuel, the volume may be there, but the margin is on what people buy after they purchase their fuel.
Well, it's the likes of brands that are driving footfall at these forecourt establishments. Insomnia would operate a number of coffee bars within some of the more premium motorway service sites. We see where there's been an evolution from automated machinery to the addition of coffee bars to sit-down cafes and to a kind of a full in-store cafe offering within a motorway service location. I think kind of kicking on to kind of the importance of in-store maintenance, training, equipment.
Well, we'll ask the lads here now, because there's two, and you're very welcome. Let's start with Anthony Buggy. Anthony, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Tell us a little bit about your world. and again, that maybe that consumers out there who experience your services day in, day out, but may not really know a lot about what you do.
So I'm in the industry just shy of 20 years. My own business is just shy of 10 years old this year. So we look after the speciality sort of the business. So it's all traditional. We look after a lot of the coffee roaster wholesale customers, from consultancy to water chemistry, right down to consulting with interior design, customising the machine, right down to the point where it's turnkey finish on install and they're serving coffee. That's what we do.
And again, Ronan will, and Paul will know this, like, in my day, when you were setting up the coffee counter, you could spend possibly 10 grand.
Yeah.
Now, without a blink of an eye, you could spend 50 or 60 grand.
Yeah, that wouldn't be unusual.
Yeah.
So we'd have an average. It's the equipment we sell is premium equipment. So it's one of the brands is hand-built in Florence. They're on average over 20K.
Yeah.
On average, yeah. We done an install there 2 weeks ago. I think it was 40K.
So, and if you think back about, and you know this well, Anthony, but, you know, that money has to be recovered. So that money of, and if it goes from 10 to 50, you know, that's 40 grand more. That's a lot of cups of coffee.
Yeah. Every year on year, the standard is getting more and more, which brings the price point up more and more. They have to compete on a street that everybody is doing the same thing. They have to bring something different. And you'll see an investment in coffee equipment, coffee itself, grinders, staff training, everything comes into play to make it that bit better than their neighbours.
All right, stay with us. Yeah. Let's talk to Paul Flanagan.
Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
Paul, how are you? Great to see you again. A man I know for many years, but maybe you might walk us through, Paul, the changes around technology in terms of the machinery versus what you can get now and what has changed over the years. And again, you've been in this business a long time.
Yeah, Bobby, thanks for having us on. So this is my 40th year working in coffee, actually. So I started in coffee in 1986. And back then in the UK, it was mainly Italian restaurants. You wouldn't see espresso machines, especially Italian traditional machines, in anywhere else apart from Italian restaurants. And that's where we used to work. So then during the mid-90s, when you had the coffee revolution, your Cafe Nero's, your Coffee Republics, and then your Seattle Coffee Company, that would have been about the same time as Insomnia, I guess, mid-90s. Then you started to see this coffee revolution of coffee bars opening up on every street corner using, you know, really good high-end traditional equipment. But going back to your question about how has it changed, now it's more automated. So now you've got grind-by-weight grinders, which, you know, it just takes away any user error. You've got built-in scales inside the coffee machines. You've got Uber milks, you know.
Yeah. And again, the consumer probably isn't aware, as we all are, about semi-automatic versus traditional versus. So essentially, there's been huge progress, has there not, in how the machines can texture the milk.
Yeah.
And that has been a development that, as I suppose, it's not taking away from the skill that a barista does with its craft.
Yeah.
But it has probably closed the gap between pushing a button versus somebody making you a coffee on a consistent basis.
Yeah. So you've still got the theatre. You've got all the theatre of someone making a coffee and you know, the milk and all that.
The hiss and piss.
Yeah, the hiss and the piss, as you say. But it's you know, when the punter walks in, he sees the guy behind the counter. Half the time, they wouldn't know if that's a semi-automatic or a fully automatic. You know, a semi-automatic, you've got your steam wand, so you're still frothing the milk.
And they don't care in the sense that,
unless you're a coffee.
Well, they care about what's in the exactly. What the end product is, but they're not that concerned about what the actual minutiae of the process is. Yeah. Let's call it.
Yeah.
It's about the feel of the place. A lot of our sites that we get, it's the atmosphere, the feel of the cafe, the interior design, the furniture, the paint on the walls.
And the theatre around making the coffee is special.
And the banter between the barista. So you start with a story today, you'll finish your story tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's
we were in a coffee bar earlier, us three, and we were chatting. And I said, often you get people who take coffee from home in a cup and won't bother, just to save money, they won't go and buy a coffee in a cafe. I enjoy, even as a, you know, Joe Public, going in and actually getting a coffee in a coffee bar and actually having a bit of one-to-one with the barista, seeing how he's making it, look at the equipment. I love that side of it, you know. And I think I would miss that. Me and Anthony were at a coffee show in Houston, in Texas, last year. And the thing we noticed, how much automation there is, like robotic arms making coffee now. And that is very popular in China and Korea.
It's a different kind of theatre, nearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would miss that interaction with the barista. How's your day? How are you doing? You know? So hopefully that isn't going to be the future. you know?
Yeah.
The super automatics for Insomnia that we've introduced over the last few months, Bobby, have brought about a little bit more in terms of customer engagement. And the customer is then getting an opportunity, or staff are getting an opportunity to engage more with the customer. The
coffee. While they're doing their trade.
Exactly. So yeah. Maybe the coffee is automated, the espresso pour is automated, the milk is automated. There's a reduction in waste. There's a little bit more consistency around milk and coffee espresso consistency. There's maybe an opportunity then for the staff member to upsell a snack or a pastry or an add-on, which again is important within the industry in terms of generating spend and generating.
Yeah, it's funny if you look at the proliferation now of coffee outlets that there are. My take on it is it's positive in the sense, but it's no longer good enough just to have really good coffee. In other words, because the standards now are much better than they were and much more uniform, you now have to say, well, okay, you've got good coffee, but what else have you got?
Yeah. Well, if you look at 19 years ago when we started in Stephen's Green, and I think the evolution of the brand I work with, Insomnia, you can see that the importance of high-profile, quality fit-out establishment, Wi-Fi access, clean toilets, access to toilets, a comfortable space to maybe meet, greet and spend time with people. Yeah. But most importantly, it's around maybe the people that work there and the staff engagement and maybe the feel for the place that you might have.
Yeah. Anto, one thing maybe consumers don't know, and I'm not saying this in any sort of lecturing way, but if the owner of the machine doesn't keep it clean, doesn't look after. Milk is a very destructive. Sour milk particularly can cause huge problems within machines. I'm sure you're banging your head against a wall telling fellas day in, day out, you have to clean the machine.
You have to. It's crucial. It's absolutely crucial for milk and coffee. We have issues in Ireland that nobody else has in the world. Because our cattle are grass-fed, the milk is high in protein, high in fats, it binds to everything in the machines. Companies are starting to listen, machine manufacturers starting to listen, but they're fixing a problem and creating another. The chemicals are getting more aggressive to clean the machines, where they're destroying the parts internally prematurely.
So there's, again, the old adage of stripping down a machine, cleaning it properly, making sure there's absolutely no milk residue there that can go sour.
A lot of it's avoidable.
It's a fundamental thing.
Yeah, a lot of it's avoidable, but you have staff that change over staff all the time. They're not trained. The staff you train today and one site is gone in a month, and then you constantly have to repeat the training. Our biggest problem, one of our biggest call-outs is due to not cleaning, lack of cleaning.
Yeah. Paul, just the pressure that comes with the coffee machine being the sort of main revenue source in a coffee shop. So if it goes down, the business is basically unable to sell customers who are in looking. So the pressure that brings around call outs, service times in terms of fixing the problem. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it's no service engineer has a helicopter. So you're generally in your van. And I'll give you a prime example. I was in Dublin till quite late yesterday evening, and then I get a call for a hotel in Tipperary, not too far from me, actually, in Nenagh. And the lady's on the phone saying, well, machine's gone down, but we have big functions tomorrow and we need it. So, you know, it's literally jump in the van and drive there and get it done. I mean, we don't, and Anto will back me up, we don't work like 8-hour days.
Yeah.
It can be in the coffee industry, especially in the industry we do with traditional machines. It's they want you out of hours. So if it's the PM work and preventive maintenance, they want you before they open or when they close. And that bit in between, if it goes down, well, they haven't just lost a cup of coffee, because the customer will walk in and they'll say, oh, the coffee machine's down. They won't buy a bun or a cake or anything else. They'll literally turn on the heels and then they're gone. And then they'll go to another cafe. And 9 times out of 10, they may not come back, you know?
Yeah.
Last quick word to you, Ronan. It's a great business to work in. Would you support that?
I fully support it, Bobby. Yes. Thank you for that.
I employed you.
Thank you for the opportunity all those years ago. But I've met some good people in the industry, and I remember, I'll tell a quick story on Anthony. I met Anthony in 2008, first service engineer I ever met in a store, and built a relationship with Paul then 15 years ago, and here's the three of us now today.
Good job. Well, thank you for all you do, guys. Great to talk to you.
Cheers, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.